Hello, hello, you guys. You're listening to the VBAC Link, and I am with my friend today, Crystal. Crystal Nightingale is with the Mama Coach, right? I'm saying that correctly. And she's amazing. I feel like we kind of connected on social media, and I just like madly fell in love with her. And I feel like I could talk to her for hours on postpartum and just the journey of what things look like after we have our babies. And it's a topic that we don't talk about enough in today's world. And honestly, it's a topic that isn't focused. So it's not only not talked about, but it's not focused on, in my opinion, enough. We have babies and then we, are told to come back 6 weeks later, but a whole load of things happen in that 6 week period, truly. There are things from recovering from birth. And sometimes we have different types of birth. Maybe we had an easy birth and that's super great, but sometimes we have a C-section or a vaginal or assisted vaginal. We have extra tearing or maybe we're having a really hard lactation journey and feeding our babies or emotionally. There's so much that comes packed into postpartum and we just don't put enough focus on it, in my opinion, in the medical world. So today's episode is with Crystal, and she's going to be talking more about postpartum. What does it look like? What to expect? All of the things. I mean, we're diving deep into it. We're going to be talking about baby blues and postpartum and mood disorders and hormonal dips and lactation and when it's okay to not be okay and when it's okay to ask for help and just all of the things. So stick with us today. It's going to be a really, really great episode learning more about what to expect in that postpartum experience. We have a review of the week as usual. And just a reminder, if you guys have not had a chance to leave a review, we would love for you to do so. You can do that on Apple Podcasts. You can do that. I actually don't know if you can do it on Spotify, but we are on Spotify. You can do it on Google. You can just Google the VBAC link and find us and leave a review there. Wherever you leave a review, we would just love it. And you never know, it might be read next on the podcast. Today's review is actually from Google and it's from Elizabeth Garcia. And she says, as a birth doula and mom, I am always referring clients for information to the VBAC link for incredible stories to lift my VBAC clients up and make them know that there are others who have successfully VBAC'd and for advice, information, and statistics. I always turn to the VBAC link. Thank you, Elizabeth, or Beth, if you go by Beth. For your sweet review. Again, as always, we love your review and appreciate them on any platform that you want to leave them on.
You are tuned into the VBAC Link podcast with Megan Heaton, who is a longtime doula and VBAC mom herself, here to help you get inspired for birth after having had a C-section. Along with this podcast, the VBAC Link offers blogs, resources, and a comprehensive VBAC course for both parents preparing for birth and doulas wanting to take their VBAC education to the next level. Be sure to follow Megan and her team on all social media platforms for even more. Although these podcast episodes are VBAC specific, it is encouraged for all expectant moms to listen and educate themselves on how to avoid a C-section from the get-go. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other qualified medical professional. Here is your host, Megan.
Okay, cute Crystal. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, Megan. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited for you to be here. Like I was saying in the intro, you would probably know more than I, we don't talk about this and there are so many things, that I didn't even know about things in postpartum and how our hormones shift and what to look for. And I've had three kids. Truly, I have not even been informed and I've had three kids. So I'm really excited to dive into this with you today.
Yes. Awesome. I know. It's just like you said, we have all this attention during the pregnancy and we have all these appointments and all this kind of stuff and, all this information and resources, but then mm-hmm. you have your baby. It's like, okay, bye. Take care of yourself and your baby. Make sure you sleep.
Yeah. Make sure you sleep. You're like, wait, how do I do that again when I have a baby waking up every 2 to 4 hours?
I know. And then, most women don't have their first postpartum appointment until 6 weeks. And it's like, Oh my gosh, where is the support, you know, for those first few weeks, up to 6 weeks or even beyond? Because postpartum doesn't last only 6 weeks.
It doesn't.
You know, I've read somewhere, I can't state the source because I don't remember, but you know, it could last up to a year after giving birth. The way I look at it, it's like, okay, you have been pregnant for, you know, about 9-10 months or so. And all that time, your hormones were increasing and your body was changing. In my opinion, it'll take at least that long to fully recover as well.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of interesting that you say that, because with my first, my oldest daughter, who's going to be or just turned 12, I'm thinking when this episode's coming out, she'll be 12 in a week.
Oh my gosh.
And I know, it's so crazy to me. But I was 11 months postpartum with her, and I had gone back to work when she was like 3 months old, and I had been working and things were pretty good. And then I kind of had some struggle with my lactation, with my supply, and was doing things to like try and get it back, and just kind of felt a shift in my whole self. And right. I went in at 11 months post-op because my husband was like, I think you should talk to somebody, you know? And I didn't really know anyone to talk to. So I just went to my OB, and my OB said, you have postpartum depression. And I said, no, I don't. And I said, I'm not even that, like, I'm really far postpartum now. Like, cause in my head, like almost a year, right? Like that's really far out. And he said, no, you have postpartum depression. This is postpartum depression. And I like literally looked at him and just like my jaw opened. And I said, I think you're crazy. And he said, no, this is postpartum depression. And we talked about it. And I was like, what? So I like left and I called my husband and I said, hun, like, even though I'm almost a year, he said, I can still have this. Like, I have this. These are things that we talked about on, you know, how to work through it anyway. Right. And I just could not in my mind believe him. Like, I really could not believe him that I had postpartum depression. I think one, I didn't want to admit it. We have a negative stigma around the word depression in general, like just depression. It's like, no, I'm not depressed. No, don't say that. Don't put that diagnosis on me, you know? But truly, like, you know, so I was scared of that and I didn't want to not admit that. But then I was like, no, I am not, you know, a few months after birth. Like, I am almost a year. And so it's interesting you just said that, because I was actually told that at 11 months postpartum.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, you know, like I said, with all the hormones going, you know, running rampant, you know, the first 9 to 10 months, or not the first 9 to 10 months, but then during pregnancy, and then it's the same afterwards. And then there's a hormonal shift, you know, right after delivery, during breastfeeding. If you stop breastfeeding, there's a hormonal shift as well. So it's, and then going back to work, it's just all these emotions and an emotional roller coaster.
It really is. And I think that's kind of what was happening, is I was shifting a little bit within like my milk. And then I was maybe deciding on not staying working. And then there was like lots of pressure of like where my daughter was, you know, there's so much going on.
And stress, you know.
So, and I had those hormonal shifts, but I didn't realize that they were happening, and I didn't recognize them. So let's just dive into that. Like, postpartum, like things to expect as a postpartum mom, both physically and emotionally. Like, what are things that we could just automatically maybe expect to happen?
All the emotions.
All the emotions.
There's a big drop of estrogen after, you know, you deliver, and that increases prolactin hormones. That's, you know, helps with milk supply. And then, you know, there's just the initial recovery. So if you delivered vaginally, you may or may not have had any tears, and there's different degrees of tears. And I know you, you are more familiar with that kind of stuff, and how to prevent it, right? With perineal massage and things like that. But, you know, it's funny because some people think, oh, I'm gonna have a big baby, or whatever they told me, that my baby's gonna be big or small, but there's a misconception that if your baby's big, you're gonna tear, like you're just gonna tear. But some women don't tear and they have like 10-pound babies, but then other women tear and they have like a 6-pound baby. So it can happen to anyone. Doesn't matter how big or small your baby is. So that's the immediate recovery is from any tears. And of course, you want to do like sitz baths. There have like the dermaplast spray to help with pain, things like that. And bleeding, if you had a C-section, you will still bleed, maybe not as long as a vaginal delivery, but bleeding can, you know, last anywhere from a few weeks to up to 8 weeks. So that's totally normal. Some women are like, oh my gosh, why am I bleeding still? You know, totally normal for all of that. And yeah, then
your placenta, the wound of our placenta, you know, we have that on our uterus. And so we can bleed, and we can bleed shorter sometimes or longer sometimes.
Right. Yeah. And it is a wound, which is why it's recommended to not have any, you know, sexual intercourse until at least 6 weeks. And then even when your doctor clears you, you know, quote unquote, you still may not be ready. You know, you're exhausted, you feel touched out. So it's totally okay. Be open with your partner on how you're feeling about in regards to that. But you definitely want to wait at least 6 weeks for sexual intercourse. And then of course, have a plan for birth control, because you're most likely more fertile right after giving birth. And then speaking of birth control, if you're breastfeeding, there is a family planning method called lactational amenorrhea method. And there are three criteria to this. You should be less than 6 months postpartum. You should be exclusively breastfeeding and not have started your period. And with those three combined, you can usually use exclusive breastfeeding as a birth control, as a type of birth control. It's just crazy. You do have to be exclusively breastfeeding, though. That's like the really big key thing. If you're giving bottles here and there, I believe that this is CDC, I think it was, is said that if you're exclusively breastfeeding and not going more than 4 hours in between feedings, it's a good family planning method. So
I've never even heard of this.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw it on the list, I'm like, what is that? I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. It's just because while you're breastfeeding, your hormones, a particular hormone is lower than usual. Mm-hmm. It kind of suppresses the ovulation. And that's why a lot of women who are exclusively breastfeeding don't even have their periods yet until months down the line.
Yeah, we had a question on that on one of the Thursdays, you know, Thursday questions, like, when is it normal for people to have their period return? I'm like, it really just depends. Like,
yeah, totally depends. Yeah, it could be, you know, a couple months after birth, or like I said, if you're exclusively breastfeeding, it could take a little bit longer.
Yeah. So in talking a little bit about hormones and on all of this, I have kind of been blown away to see recently that we have providers here in Utah, anyway, this is happening, that like literally right after birth, they are saying, hey, we can put your Mirena IUD in right now.
And oh, I'm my like, gosh.
What? Like, my mind was blown. I was like, hold on. Like, they left and I was like, let's talk about this. Let's talk about placing a Mirena IUD the second you have your baby. Like,
I know
what? Like, no. I mean, for me, I was passionate about it because my IUD was actually placed too early with my second. Like, my cervix hadn't completely, quote unquote, like hardened, like it hadn't recovered completely. So it was too soft. And so it ended up floating up and protruding through my uterus going towards my lung. And
I'm specifically told,
like, it's because you got it too early. And I'm like, okay, so that was one thing. But then hormonally, I'm like, why are we giving birth control like hours and days after we have a baby?
I know. So that's the thing that's happening.
Have you ever seen that?
I have. Literally right after they, you know, the placenta is, you know,
expelled. We'll just place your IUD right now.
Yeah, we'll just place your IUD. I'm like, oh my gosh, first of all, that's a big wound. And why are you putting something in there? It needs to recover. And two, like you said, the hormone stuff. I mean, yes, Mirena or progestin only birth control is the recommended birth control to use if you are breastfeeding.
Right.
But still, this is a very vulnerable time. And I say, you know, wait until, if you can, wait until at least you're established your milk supply. And then, so that way you have an abundant, well-established supply, because you may experience a dip in your milk supply with any type of birth control, you know, but it'll be easier to bounce back if your milk supply is well-established, you know,
yeah,
and you're knowledgeable and know what to do and you're informed and, you know, educated on it. But yes, I have seen that many, many times, and I cringe when I see that. I'm like, oh my gosh. But, you know, what can you do? Because the OB offers it. They're, you know, moms are like, oh yeah, let's just do it. Might as well, you know, but they're not given all the facts and are not informed on it. It's so crazy.
No, I just couldn't believe it. I could not believe it when I saw that. And like, too, like, we want to know like who we are and where we are. Like, we're already dealing with so many hormonal shifts emotionally and like getting a breastfeeding established and things like that. Like, why are we adding? I don't know. Yes. It wasn't my thing, but I was just shocked to see that that was happening. And so, like you said, so it can impact milk supply, which, by the way, listeners, Crystal is also with the Lactation Network, our sponsor, which is really fun and super exciting to find out.
Yes.
So she's really skilled in lactation and things like that. And so kind of like, so is that something that can impact our milk before we even establish our milk? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it can. And I can't always, you know, there's always not... I can't say always. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I definitely see it impacted. It could take a little bit longer for milk supply to be established, you know, if you got the Mirena or started birth control early on. And like I said, the recommended hormonal birth control is something with progestin only or progesterone mm-hmm. only and no estrogen. But I have seen some women's milk supply impact with the recommended one. So I always say, if you know, of course, birth control, yes, it's there, it's good. But if you do plan to breastfeed, at least know that it may be impacted and be educated on how you can, I guess, counteract that dip.
Right.
Frequent and effective removal of milk, staying hydrated, having a good nutrition, eating lots of leafy greens and protein mm-hmm. and iron is, you know, going to help with that.
I agree. And if we can't get it in through food and nutrients, it's okay to supplement and get vitamins yes. and things like that, like, you know, through which yeah. we highly suggest needed, but like really getting the nutrients that your body needs and understanding that you're going through a lot. And
yes.
so if you can't eat that, supplement right. with that so your body can still have those nutrients.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're recovering ourselves as well as trying to take care of a new baby and maybe even breastfeeding mm-hmm. that baby if you're planning to breastfeed. So for sure, you know, you lose some blood during delivery, whether it's vaginal or C-section. And, you know, maybe there's even a complication where you hemorrhage. And so now you've lost a lot of blood and you need yeah. some iron supplements. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, prenatal vitamin for sure, you know, especially if you're breastfeeding. And then, like you said, if you're unable to, you know, eat, I mean, most of us, at least I can speak for myself, don't get all the nutrients that I need through food.
We don't. It's so hard.
It is. It's very hard. And then speaking of that, some women, either you're on one side of the spectrum, you're either famished because you're breastfeeding and you just want to eat all the time, or you have a lack of appetite. So I always recommend moms, like if you have a loss in appetite, you know, maybe do a smoothie or like a protein mm-hmm. shake or something like that, or little snacks throughout the day, like a protein bar or, you know, nuts and seeds and fruits, things like that. But also lack of appetite in the longer run is a sign of postpartum depression or a postpartum mood disorder. Mm-hmm. Baby blues versus postpartum depression is pretty similar. Baby blues is basically a temporary short feeling of, you know, that initial postpartum period, you're exhausted, you're stressed, you're anxious. Am I doing this right for my baby? Is my baby getting enough? I'm tired. Oh my gosh, we have a new routine going on. Mm-hmm. That's some baby blues. You know, it's really short, maybe a week or two, and then, you know, you're able to move on. But if it lasts longer than that and, you know, includes other signs such as, you know, lack of appetite, excessive worrying, lack of sleep, mm-hmm. which, I mean, we don't, of course, new mothers are already, you know, sleep deprived. But if you are
like just really so, unable,
like you're so worried that, you know, you can't sleep even when the baby is sleeping, then those are definitely signs of postpartum depression. And you for sure want to reach out to your OB at the least, or if, you know, whatever psychiatric resources your insurance plan has, you want to reach out to them. And of course, online, you know, there's a lot of stuff online, resources mm-hmm. for that. And like you said, it can, you know, show up at 11 months postpartum, mm-hmm. you know, so always be aware of that. And then for the partners, I guess just make sure that they're kind of aware of those things, because they may see it first mm-hmm. before you realize it yourself. So, yeah. You know, just, you know, well, a lot
exactly.
of support.
Because that's what I was just going to say, like, yeah, like, at 11 months is when I really kind of willingly addressed it and recognized it even deeper myself. But like, looking back, I think that it started way further. Like, it just kept getting deeper, right? And so kind of going back to the, like, well, baby blues, like, maybe I was like, oh, these are baby blues. Nursing was really hard for me. I didn't have the opportunity to have as skilled of a, you know, IBCLC, as we know, insurance doesn't cover that a lot. And we were young and didn't have like the best jobs in the world. And
right.
So right. We didn't really we didn't have things like the lactation network to like work with our insurance and support. And so it was just kind of like trying to really figure it out, you know, and I had the IBCLC like in the hospital and things like that, but like on a deeper level. And so that was really hard for me. Then it was the stress of going back to work and the thought of how I was going to juggle it all. Then yes. I was back to work. Then I was really struggling when my mother-in-law accidentally spilt over my hard work pumped milk for my baby that day. Right? And so it's like, if I look back at all the things, I actually had a lot of these signs, but I didn't really chalk it up to anything other than I'm a new mom. And I think that's where we can go wrong, is there's so many times where it's like, oh, well, of course I'm tired. I have a baby that wakes up every couple hours. Of course I'm sore. It's because I just had a C-section. Of course I'm this. Of course I'm stressed, you know, but like you said, like on a deeper level, if this is continuing, that's where we need to reach out.
Yeah. And there's a lot of resources out there. Like I said, the first thing would be to reach out to, you know, your own provider, whether it's your general practitioner or your OB, someone, and they can point, you know, they can point you in the right direction or give you some of the resources for that.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, you know, our own maternal struggles, you know, also the partner's struggles. I see a lot of time, I talk to dads a lot of the time, they're like, oh my God, I feel so bad. She's trying so hard and I'm trying to do what I can. And, you know, mm-hmm. it's stressful for the partners as well, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
Seeing, you know, your other half struggle because they just really want to breastfeed, or they're, you know, struggling with postpartum depression. So, you know, some partners will ask me, how can I help? You know, and so I, you know, give them tips like, okay, well, if mom is breastfeeding or, you know, doing newborn care or anything like that, try to, you know, maybe make a meal for her or, you know, help with the other kids or, you know, say, hey, why don't you go take a bath, you know, because moms, we just neglect ourselves, you know. Mm-hmm. So I would say make sure she's at water, snacks, you know, of course, water and food are like probably the biggest thing, especially immediately postpartum for recovery for ourselves and to nourish our body so we can nourish the baby. But yeah, we should acknowledge that. And like I said, well, I mean, obviously I can't speak for all moms, but for me, you know, I didn't realize and acknowledge, you know, all the things that my partner was doing, you know, so partners can also experience some postpartum anxiety and postpartum depression too.
They really can. And I was just going to say, like, I didn't have the mental space to recognize what my husband was and wasn't doing. right. and where he was emotionally. It wasn't right. until I wanted to VBAC, you know, with my second, my VBAC after two C-section, that I realized he had some trauma and some things that he had been dealing with based off of things that he had said. And I'm like, oh, okay. you right. know, like, yeah. so it's kind of interesting, but like, I wasn't in that space because I was so focused on my baby that I couldn't even focus on myself or my husband.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, as mothers, we just, we are like, I mean, it's instinctual, you know, of course we have our baby that's, you know, we have to protect it and we have to do everything for it, but then we also neglect ourselves and, you know, inadvertently everyone else around us and, you know, but it's good to acknowledge and even just a thank you to the partner, like, hey, I'm so sorry. I'm just really tired or, you know, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for what you're doing and supporting our family, you know?
And coming up with a plan, I think communication is really big and it's really hard for us to say, I'm not okay. Right. But it's okay to not be okay or feel okay, you know? And there would be sometimes when I would just kind of be tearful, just tearful. Like, and I didn't even know why. Like, he'd be like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have anything that I can say this or that or, you know, and it got to the point where you have to communicate and say, like, I'm not okay or I need help today or, you know, what can I do for you today? I'm feeling really good. You seem like you're stressed.
Right.
What can I do for you today? Right. And it's hard because, like, again, we're not in that space where we're like, we're already taking care of a baby. We can't take care of another human, but we, you know, but they're taking care of the kids, the other kids, and the dinners, and they're, you know, still trying to help. And so sometimes just asking, hey, I'm doing good today. I'm just doing a quick check in. How are you?
Yeah.
If you're not okay, how can I help you? Or, hey, I'm not doing well today. Is there any way I can get help with this? Or if they can't do it because they're tapped out, talk about that. Come up with a plan.
You know,
maybe it's lactation help. Maybe it's going to a therapist. Maybe it's having a cleaner come in and clean your house because looking at it is creating anxiety for everything that's going on, right? Because we don't want a dirty house with a new baby and all these things. And so communicating and really having that full openness is going to impact, I think, our postpartum and the way things are with our spouse and loved ones.
Yes, I totally agree. Communication is key. And, you know, I really believe that preparing for the postpartum period before we get there is 100%. Key too. Yes, like starting, you know, there's that, you know, well-known saying, you know, it takes a village. I say, like, try to start forming your village before you deliver, you know, look up, you know, different mom groups. If you don't have family, and of course, family and friends that are near you would be the best because, you know, we feel more comfortable asking. It's already hard for us to ask for
it
help.
Yeah.
But, you know, it should hopefully be easier, you know, with family and friend, you know, close friends. So if you can establish that village, quote unquote, beforehand, before it gets really bad, then, you know, you have those resources already. Or like I said, if you don't have family and friends close by, like for me, I was in the military and I had my second baby while I was away from all my family, you know, try to find resources in your county or your community, or even online, like online mom groups or like the VBAC link, you know, support groups like that, where you can, you know, even just vent, you know, type out, okay, this, I'm so tired, I'm you know, whatever you're feeling. And then, you know, there's just so many supportive, you know, women and not only women, but, you know, supportive people out there that are willing to be an ear or, you know, try to point you in the right direction or even point out things like, hey, it sounds like maybe you need to reach out to somebody, you know, please do. And, you know, this kind of stuff. So,
absolutely. Yeah. We've been talking about that a lot lately, how, you know, we're doing so much to prep for the birth and, you know, during pregnancy and all these things, but then we do forget about that postpartum. And really during our prep for birth, we also need to be prepping for that postpartum period. And that, sure. that includes, yeah, finding your village, right? Like getting your help, getting your meal train organized, getting yes. like truly meal trains are amazing, right?
Yes.
Like if you want to breastfeed or if you are planning it, you know, whatever, like I even think if you're not planning on breastfeeding, it's good to talk to a lactation consultant, like
yeah.
getting in touch with the lactation network beforehand. Mm-hmm. Understanding your resources, your groups, PSI, Postpartum Support International, like they're a really yes. great resource as well. Like understanding, being familiar with those pages, going, looking at those professionals, understanding, having a relationship. And so it doesn't come to it's 5 weeks postpartum and things you need help. And now it feels really overwhelming to find yes. that village.
Right. Right.
Right. It's very mm-hmm. overwhelming. So if we could just have our village in play
right. when
they're available, when you know we have them on our list. Oh, here's my lactation help. Oh, here's my postpartum help. Oh, here's my favorite group to just vent and get it out because I know I'm going to be validated and feel love in this group or
yes.
whatever it may be. Like, do it beforehand. Do it yes. before.
Yes. I mean, I wish I did that before too with my with my older kids, because you know, like we were saying earlier, we were young, we didn't know, I was naive, you know, I mean, I was 20 and I'm just like, okay, what I don't know what I'm
just
doing,
have a baby, that's what people do, they
right.
show up and have babies and then they go off and they know how to nurse and they know how to like help, they understand what is going on with their body and how to recover and get those nutrients and fuel our brains. And no, yep. guess what? I didn't know any of that, you guys.
I didn't either. I did not either.
I wish I did. I wish
yes.
I did. And that's why we're here talking to you today.
Right.
Even if it's baby number two and you
yes.
can do that with your first, it's not too late to create your village beforehand.
Yes, totally.
For birth and postpartum. And those might be two different villages, just FYI.
True. That's a good point. Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then, you know, speaking of postpartum, I think parents need to also keep in mind that things can change. You know, we have our birth plan, we're like, okay, we're going to yes. breastfeed, or we're just going to pump, or whatever, however you choose to feed your baby. But you know, unfortunately, things can happen that, you know, unexpected things, complications, or you know, issues with milk supply, or baby not even wanting to take a bottle, like doing
yes.
having a bottle refusal or breast strike, you know. So just being flexible, and like you said, knowing where you can turn to for help, like, okay, I'm having this issue, I'm going to reach out to my lactation consultant, or I need some extra help with meals or cleaning, like you said, like I'm now that I know everything that I know, I wish somebody would have told me, like, you know how we do our birth registry.
Yes.
We don't need a lot of those things that we put on there. What we need is, like you said, meal trains, you know, someone that will take turns, like if you have family and friends, someone that will take turns, you know, maybe once a week to come in and maybe cook a meal for you, or just help you clean up, or even a postpartum doula, you know,
yes.
You know, money for that, you know, that would be great. You know, I mean, way back 100%. When we didn't have all these different equipment for the babies, and we did just fine without it.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Yeah. And that, you know, there's so many details to figure out. And so that if you really think about it, it's why it makes so much sense to do it beforehand, because when we're tired, we're sore, we're recovering, we're overwhelmed already. You guys, I don't know. This is my personality. If something is like, during that, if I'm overwhelmed, I'll just kind of like ignore it. I'll be like, I'll just
yeah.
get to it later. But then it
yeah.
never happens. But then I suffer because I never did it.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
And honestly, you guys, if it's overwhelming, and you know, say you're right now, as you're listening, you're 3 months post-op or postpartum. And you know, you're like, oh gosh. Yep. Everything these guys are saying, I need help. Delegate. That's okay.
Yes.
Tell
yes.
someone, tell your mom, your friend, hey, I need help. This is where I'm at. Is there any way you can help me find these resources? Right?
Yeah.
And in the show notes below, we are going to have some resources for you. We'll have the mama coach. We'll have the lactation network. We're going to have PSI. We're going to have these things that, you know, we're going to make it easy for you right here too. But it's okay to delegate and say, hey, I am not in a space that I can find this, you know, wish you coulda, shoulda, woulda type thing, right? Like, can't go back and dwell on it. Let's get help now. Delegate that, someone to find you. Or even send them this resource and say, can you reach out to these links? I need
help. Yeah, because that's a lot of time too, just going through all these different resources and, you know, and either contacting them or even navigating their websites to find the specific information you need takes a lot of time. And next thing you know, it's like an hour goes by and you're like, oh my gosh, I could have took a nap. Now the baby's up. And
exactly. Yeah. So send them this podcast and there will be all the links in the show notes for things like what we're talking about, including nutrients and, you know, all of the amazing things that your body needs and resources. So we can hopefully try to make it easier for you.
Yes, for sure. Yes. And as a mama coach, we have mama coaches all around the US, even all around the world. And most of us do provide postpartum hourly care, similar to like a postpartum doula, you know, and we can do it even virtually, you know, virtual postpartum care. You need help with, you know, how to bathe your newborn or just, you know, help around the house, or, you know, you need someone to watch your baby while you take a nap. Just, you know, the mom coach has a lot of services as well. And like you said, it'll be, you know, in the show notes, but definitely reach out. And if, you know, if I can't help you, I can definitely, you know, point you in the right direction or connect you with another mama coach or resource, whatever that can hopefully help support you.
Yeah. Do you know what I wish I had you for? What's helping that? Me know how to return to work.
Ah, yes, that's a big one.
Is a really daunting task. And I remember just like trying to look online, like how to figure it out, what a good schedule is if I wanted to pump, what a good schedule for pumping was based off of my specific work schedule and things like that. And I know you guys can help with that. Is there anything, like just a few tips that you would give our listeners if they are planning on returning to work?
Yes. So I always say try to start planning for your return to work at least a month before you know, plan to return to work. And if you are breastfeeding, say you postpartum and going along, you're exclusively breastfeeding, and now you're going back to work. If you're going to be bottle feeding, don't wait till the last minute to introduce a bottle.
Yeah.
Because there has been a lot of babies who have refused the bottle and they just want the breast. So for sure, I mean, you don't have to give them a bottle every time, but I always say at least once a week or so, starting off, you know, a month before, prior to going back to work, start to introduce it if you haven't already. And yes, definitely need a plan, because there's that separation anxiety too. You've just been home with your baby for, who knows, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 3 months, 6 months. You've been home and taking care of that baby. Now you have to pass them, him or her off to, you know, either a daycare provider or a family member or, you know, your husband, which, you know, I mean, the husbands do a lot of stuff, but, you know, of course, as a mother, we just are that nurturing type. And it's like, okay, are you going to take care of the baby as well as I do?
Yeah.
You know,
I wanted to micromanage my husband. I was like, I know you're going to do it great. Like, but I kind of was that way with everyone. I'm like, I know you're going to do a really good job, but like, but you're not me. And
exactly. It's just so different. Hard. It's definitely hard. So there's that separation anxiety. So preparing mentally too, just, you know, okay, you know, whoever, like you said, an open communication with whoever is going to be the caregiver for while you're away from work, whether it's your partner, a family member, a friend, daycare provider, you know, be open with them. Hey, I am breastfeeding and bottle feeding, you know, pace bottle feed. Can we talk about that? Do you do that? If you don't know how to do it, you know, I can send you a video on how to do it. You know, if they're starting solids, what kind of foods, you know, if there's a lot of different things. So you definitely need to come up with a plan. I think that's the biggest thing, is coming up with a plan and being flexible, because you just never know what your baby's going to want to take. You know, and sometimes I've heard of babies not even eating while they're away from their mom, and then they're nursing like all throughout the night, and then now moms are tired and they have to go to work tired, and you know it's just, it is a lot. So I mean, I think a few tips I have is get prepared at least a month in advance, and open communication with whoever the caregiver is going to be. And reach out for help.
And reach out for help. Absolutely. Women of Strength, it's okay to reach out for help. It's okay to feel, you know, like you need help. Like, we don't want you to have to feel like you need help. Like, we want you to hopefully be prepared and feel confident along the way. But it's more likely to need help than it is to not need help. And so know that if you do need help, you're not alone. There's a ton of amazing resources that just want to do nothing but help you.
Yes, definitely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We'll definitely have to have you on again. I know that we have just brushed the surface.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, no, I would love to be on here again. Thank you for having me. And I love this platform. You guys give a great amount of information and resources and things like that. So thank you for having this platform.
Yes, thank you.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.